Welcome here to Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora on superpoweredpop.com as well as superpoweredpop.podbean.com where you can pick up all of the shows in the archive and superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile where you can download the app for free on all your devices, your iPad, your iPod, your iPhone, any smart device, so on and so forth, your iEverything. Pretty much. So make sure that you download the app superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile. And of course, you can search Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora in iTunes free podcast. So many different ways to attach yourself to the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Superpowered Pop. And on Facebook, you can like the page at Superpowered Pop. Once again, that's Superpowered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, Pop. And you can find us in all of those outlets. And you can also check out youtube.com/superpoweredpop. So plenty of ways to get yourself involved. And thank you so much that you do so. In each episode, I take some time to develop something that, you know, a topic that is on my mind, a topic that is on our minds, and something that we can share, something that is, you know, I consider to be relevant. You know, past, present, and future, there's things that are always relevant, like comic books to me. They were relevant when I was a kid, they're relevant to me now, and they'll be relevant to me in the future because I love to collect, and some of them, you know, I collect and I could part with for the right offer, and there's others that I want to put and frame and leave them in the studio, and that's it. Now, on today's show, when we speak about something that is relevant, it happened a while back in the comic books, and now we're front and center with it on television, and I think that it's a great idea to have this on television, and it's technically on television, but it's, you know, it's on Netflix, so it's Netflix TV, so to speak. It's not on cable television. And when we look at the Defenders, which is what we'll be discussing today in this show, it's taking a look at the history of the Defenders. The Defenders featured a bunch of different characters. There were the Secret Defenders, the Defenders that we know, the Defenders that we are following on Netflix television are Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. These are the Defenders that we are currently following. But they've had so many different characters. So many different mashups, so to speak. Just like the Avengers. But the ones that we are focusing in on are these human characters that have powers. These human characters that are very interesting in how they approach things. It's not the Incredible Hulk on this TV show. It's not Spider-Man on this TV show. It's Jessica Jones, who, through this freak accident, ends up gaining her powers, right? She goes through a lot, and she and Luke Cage, instead of saying, oh, they're mutants, or they're this and they're that, they've gone through these tests, and they've come out with these superpowers. They've been affected in some way, shape, or form. And then as far as Iron Fist, we look at how he is just channeling his energy inside of his body to go into his fist. And we see this yellow beaming light inside of his hand, but it's essentially him channeling his energy. So, you know, I guess if you do yoga long enough, you can make it happen. So, but that's the thing is that, you know, these are not characters that are mutants. They're not characters that are Inhumans. They're not characters that are Captain America and whatnot. But at the same time, Power Man, aka Luke Cage, he has this skin that is impenetrable. You can shoot him with bullets, nothing's gonna happen. Jessica Jones has this super strength and ability. She can leap, she can throw things, she has the power to be above and beyond the human the normal human being. And then we have Iron Fist, who channels his energy, as I was saying, to essentially create for him what looks like a mutant power. And then we have Daredevil, who has, you know, essentially lost his eyesight in this chemical spill that he was involved in. He loses his eyesight, but yet his other senses are heightened, and despite him being blind, he can train himself to essentially see and be superhuman in his own way. So they're superhuman humans, so to speak, is how I look at the Defenders. And that's what I like about this story, because it's a story about people who, okay, if I was involved in some chemical experiment, or I was in jail and they were testing me, or I fell into something and lost one of my senses but the others were heightened, or I channeled my chi and I worked on my energy inside of my body and was able to hone my energy and put it into different parts of my body and utilize it as a weapon, so to speak. You know, the weapon to defeat the hand that is the Iron Fist. So, you know, these are all things that could happen, right? I mean, we don't think that if we fall into a bunch of chemicals and they hit us in the face, that we're going to lose our eyesight and gain the ability to essentially still see. And we also don't think that we're going to have impenetrable skin. But these characters are characters that are superhuman, but they've trained themselves. Luke Cage has his powers. He's extremely powerful and impenetrable, yet he trains himself and he knows how to fight. Iron Fist, he is training the energy inside of his body and learning how to fight. Daredevil learned how to fight. Jessica Jones, she just walks around and you look at her and she's drinking alcohol and you think she's an alcoholic, she doesn't really care, she looks like somebody that life doesn't matter that much to, and yet here is this superhuman woman who is capable of so many things and capable of overcoming mind control, which we saw in the first season of Jessica Jones, which started out with her being controlled by a man, which felt very disgusting and wrong and very much Lifetime movie. And then she finally takes control back, which made me feel better about the show. Because some people watch the first two episodes of Jessica Jones, and their mentality was that, oh, it's just a woman, you know, succumbing to the power of a man, doing whatever a man wants her to do. This is such a sad story. We finally have a woman who gets her own show, and it's just the same human, or it's the same, you know, female under the male, female below the male condition. And that's not the case. That is not the case at all. This is in her entire arc in the first season is her overcoming the power of a man. And she does very well. And I credit her with that, and it was wonderful. Daredevil could have given up. With the death of his father, could have given up. With losing his eyesight, could have given up. Yet, he teaches himself to be this martial artist, and obviously Stick helps him out, but he trains himself to be great, to be superhuman in his fighting style, essentially. Then we have the Iron Fist, who everybody thinks is dead, and he ends up getting trained in how to channel his energy, and he creates what looks the most like a superpower, right? It kind of looks like Gambit, where he can just call all this energy to his hand and release it. And then you have Luke Cage, who's just going about his life, trying to make his area of the world a better place, trying to help his community, and then he gets put in jail, he gets tested on, and he comes out with something he doesn't want, but he decides to use it for good. These are heroes that essentially didn't set out to be heroes. Didn't set out to just go and do this, that, and the other thing. Now, you could say that Iron Fist, because he is supposed to, he's the weapon to defeat the hand. So you can say he's always had a focus on that. But Jessica Jones? No. Daredevil? No. Luke Cage? No. Luke Cage is working in a bar, working in a barbershop. Daredevil? He was with his father, everywhere with his father, and he loses his eyesight. And he just wants, but the thing is, this is the thing about Daredevil and Jessica Jones. As much as you don't think that when you see these characters, they're going to turn around and become a superhero if you had never heard their story before, Daredevil is a lawyer. So as much as you don't know that he's going to go out and become a superhero, he's still a superhero in his normal life as Matt Murdock because he is helping the world. Jessica Jones, with her alias Private Investigation, she's helping the world. So in their own way, they might not want to be superheroes. They might not want to go out there and fight crime, but they're fighting crime in their own right. So even subconsciously, if they don't want to believe it, they're doing right by the world. And then they all come together in the Defenders. Finn Jones is Danny Rand. Mike Coulter is Luke Cage. Charlie Cox is Daredevil. And we also have Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. Misty Knight, Simone Missick, is in this as well in the Defenders. We saw her in Luke Cage. Rosario Dawson, who's been all over these Netflix shows, as Claire Temple, she is back. She's not Night Nurse, but she is a nurse. Sigourney Weaver is in this as Alexandra, the main villain. And there's 8 episodes. So we have Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones in all 8 episodes. We have Sigourney Weaver's character of Alexandra in all 8 episodes. We have Colin Wing, played by Jessica Henwick, who's with Iron Fist. She's in all 8 episodes. We have Elodie Young as Elektra Nachios. She's in all 8 episodes, where we see her in the second season of Daredevil become the weapon of the hand. She essentially, they got her. She went to fight against them. She wanted to run away with Daredevil. And what ends up happening is she gets found by the hand. She gets taken by the hand. She's dead and is restored by the hand. And there's all of this blood running into this crypt. And she essentially is brought back to life, but brought back to life with the intent to, instead of killing the hand, helping the hand move forward and being their ultimate weapon. So you have her. And then you have Sawande, that is played by Babs Alusanmukun, and he is in 4 episodes. Eldon Henson as Foggy Nelson is in 4 episodes of The Defenders. Wei Ching Ho as Madame Gao is in 4 episodes. And then we have Rachel Taylor as Trish Walker. She is in 4 episodes of this as well, with The Defenders show just coming out here. And having an opportunity to see them all together for the first time ever. And Rachel Taylor, we obviously know Rachel Taylor as the longtime friend and the one thing that Jessica Jones shows that she truly, truly, truly cares about. Stick, 3 episodes, he is in The Defenders. And then we have Eka Darville as Malcolm Dukas is in 3 episodes of this. Lexi Raymond, played by Chloe Levine, she is in 3 episodes. And the list goes on and on and on of who shows up in this season, which is 8 episodes of a run for The Defenders, the first time that they've all come together. Now, we've seen Jessica Jones with Luke Cage. We've seen them link up. We've seen this little bit here, a little bit there. But this is the first time that the 4 of them are coming together and working together for a mission. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to bring this up today and why I wanted to discuss The Defenders today is because I like this storyline, because, they call them, the Earthly Defenders or the Earthly Avengers or the Avengers on the ground or something like that. We're used to seeing the immense power of Captain America. We are used to seeing the gamma radiation effects on Bruce Banner in creating the Hulk. We're used to seeing this demigod, I don't call anything God except for God, but for sake of the story, this demigod of Thor from Asgard, which looks like a heavenly place. We're used to seeing him, the god of thunder, somebody who can command lightning to him and utilize it for his own, someone who is one with the elements, so to speak. We are used to seeing Vision, who was created in the image and likeness of Ultron, of this artificial intelligence, and has an Infinity Stone, the Mind Gem, right there on his forehead. We're used to seeing Scarlet Witch, who is like all kinds of black magic, or red magic, however you want to call it. We have Quicksilver, who is extremely fast, and we see all of this. And we see these in the first 2 Avengers movies, Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. And when we see them in these movies, we essentially are looking at them saying, oh my lord, I mean, how can you become this? But then you have characters like Iron Man, which is technology. And you have Ant-Man, which is technology. Captain America, technology. Hulk, technology. Spider-Man, technology. So as much as these are superhuman and we think we could never be this, and the chances of being bit by a radioactive spider and having it bond with your DNA to give you spider like powers and to be superhuman are few and far between, yet it's not out of the realm of possibility because Bruce Banner is science. Tony Stark is science. Right? Steve Rogers is science. Peter Parker is science. And even in this iteration of it, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they can't say the word mutant or X-Men, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are science. Ant-Man is science. The only one that's not science is Thor. Vision is science. Vision is technology. So we see all these characters and say, oh, they're so different from Jessica Jones. They're so different from Luke Cage. They're so different from Daredevil and Iron Fist, but they're really not. It's science. Now, Iron Fist is not science so much as spiritual energy. But Power Man, a.k.a. Luke Cage, science. Jessica Jones, science. Daredevil, chemical experiment. Or chemical mistake. Chemical that takes his eyesight ends up aiding him elsewhere. These characters are not so far off from one another. So we see the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then we see these characters on Netflix and say, well, how could Daredevil ever fight against Thanos? But in the same respect, we say, okay, Captain America is very powerful, but how can he fight against Thanos? And if you take Tony Stark out of the Iron Man suit, how can he fight against Thanos? If you take Tony Stark out of the suit, take all of his tech away, Daredevil's got a better shot than he does against Thanos. Jessica Jones has a better shot than he does against Thanos. Luke Cage has a better shot. Iron Fist has a better shot than Tony Stark against Thanos. When you look at the human being element of this and how there's no way we could ever be the Hulk and there's no way we could ever be this, the Defenders humanize these characters and tell us that we could be superheroes. By defending our town, our community, our city, we could be superheroes. But how is Captain America, Iron Man, Bruce Banner, these were all people before an experiment went wrong, before something happened, before something somewhere, somehow, the shrapnel with Tony Stark, the super soldier serum with Steve Rogers, the gamma radiation with Bruce Banner, the radioactive spider with Peter Parker, the suit tech with Ant-Man. All of these are people. Somebody else could play Iron Man. Somebody else could have been Captain America. Somebody else could have been bitten by the radioactive spider. Somebody else could have put the Ant-Man suit on. Somebody else could have been hit with gamma radiation. And very easily, it could have been Luke Cage, or Jessica Jones, or Daredevil, or Danny Rand. So, I want to give these characters the respect that they deserve, because I love the Avengers. And I love how, you know, you watch that, and I'm still a kid, and I'll always be a kid. And when I watch those movies, I'm like, what would it, you know, how awesome would it be to be Spider-Man for a day? How awesome would it be to be Iron Man for a day? To be, you know, to be able to just Hulk out for the day and have little to no repercussions. To have somebody shoot at you like Luke Cage and nothing happens. To have somebody say, hey, sweetie, and catcall you, and then you just lift up a car with one hand like Jessica Jones. To be able to channel all of our energy so that I can light up my fist and have this immense, tremendous, superhuman power like I'm a superhero, but it's just me taking what everyone has in their body and me channeling it and taking the time to learn it, to understand it, and to create it into something bigger than what we think it can be. The Defenders bring a reality to it all. But when you break down these characters like we're doing here on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora in today's show, the Avengers and the Defenders are very similar. There's a lot in common. Doctor Strange has all of these mystical, wonderful powers, but he had to be taught them. He, like Iron Fist, had to be taught. So, there is beauty in seeing the similarity. There is beauty in seeing that the Avengers are not Class A, and the Defenders are, you know, the knockoff Avengers. You can't look at the Defenders show and say, well, you know, this is the B team of the Avengers. This is the bastard child of the Avengers. Because that's not a fair assessment by any stretch of the imagination. Mutants are born mutants. And humans are born in humans, right? It's in their DNA. But these other characters, this was not in their DNA. It happened. And this is what we have. And I'm excited about this because Daredevil is by far leaps and bounds my favorite on Netflix. Leaps and bounds. You know, I loved it. Seeing it, I mean, it does help that it was the first one out there. So it was the first feel. But I love the fight scenes. I love Matt Murdock's desire to do good. I love the law in him and the balance beam and, you know, seeking justice. And if he doesn't win in the courtroom, then he will win in a suit dressed in red. But, there's all these layers. There's you want to win in court and bring justice. And when the court doesn't bring justice, then Daredevil brings justice. But can Daredevil kill to bring justice? And that is the question. I loved Kingpin, seeing Kingpin finally again. Michael Clark Duncan did a great job with Kingpin. I don't care what people think of the Daredevil movie. He did a great job, and he was a great actor. And I would have loved to have worked with him. And if I had gotten to write Spider-Man 3, Michael Clark Duncan would have been in my Spider-Man movie. So, not as Kingpin, though. And I was so excited that I was anxiously anticipating Daredevil because besides the early 21st century movie with Ben Affleck, that was all we got. So to have the TV show, I was so excited. Like, I finally get to get this, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for another Daredevil movie to come out and for them to try again. And now I'm getting a TV show, which is like watching a bunch of, and it's every episode's a movie to me. So it's like, you know, you're getting a bunch of movies instead of just one. And I love Daredevil. And then I watched Jessica Jones, and some people that had watched it, like I said, for a couple episodes were like, oh, I'm over it, whatever, it's too slow, blah, blah, blah. That was one of the most bloody things I've ever seen. Jessica Jones got down and dirty. It was about mind control. It was about verbal abuse. It was about substance abuse. It was about things that you didn't let go of. Things you thought you couldn't let go of. It was about guilt. It was about depression. There were so many things that show tackled that I thought were so profound and so wonderful to people who suffer from depression, who suffer from substance abuse, who suffer from guilt, who suffer from any type of abuse, who feel that they are weak, who let people take advantage of them. There was so much in this, and you were so frustrated in seeing her lose and lose and lose and lose, but I knew she was going to win. And she did. And when she did it, it was so great. And it was such a wonderful moment. But you knew it was coming. And if you didn't watch the whole show and you just saw when she was successful, you have to struggle with her, right? Because life is a struggle. We struggle to get to that mountain, right? It's not easy to just, you don't just walk up a mountain. If you could just easily just walk up a mountain, then everybody would walk up a mountain. We'd do it every day. But it takes effort. And you have to fight through it. And seeing her fight through it was such a beautiful story that Jessica Jones really did mean a lot to me. And then after that, Luke Cage was a different feel. It was a different way of telling a story. It was modern times, but it felt like civil rights era. It was right here in front of your face. Yet it felt like it was 30 or 40 years ago. And I thought that the balance of that was so cool and so interesting and so different. And I loved what he did in this show in Protection. He cared about every single person. He couldn't turn a blind eye. He didn't want anybody to do drugs. He didn't want anybody to be in a gang. He didn't want anybody to be bullied. He didn't want anybody to have anything taken from them that wasn't right. This man suffered. He didn't make a lot of money. He didn't have a ton of friends. His love interests were there and then not there. He sacrificed over and over and over again, but was always there to help. And that is the beautiful story of Luke Cage, is that as much as he just wanted to be left alone, he couldn't help but help. He couldn't help but be there. And he stood up for what is right. And I just, you know, when the guy meets him in the park and he goes, the guy pulls out a gun and he says, "You don't want to do that." And the guy's laughing at him like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm the one with the gun. You're unarmed. You're telling me not to do this. You're telling me what's going to happen. I'm about to take your life. I'm about to, or severely injure you. And you're telling me no. And then that gun just, in the hand of Luke Cage, is like a toothpick. Luke Cage is a story that I think is so beautiful because we haven't seen enough black superheroes. We haven't seen, and I'm not trying to make this a race thing. I'm saying, me growing up as a kid, right, being a non-black, non-African-American, however you want to say it, you know, how many characters were non-black, right? Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Spider-Man, Submariner, Wolverine, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Angel, Iceman, and so on and so forth. And then you get Luke Cage, and you get Black Panther, and you get Black Lightning on the DC side, and we get Miles Morales finally, and we get to see Miles and how he is a mix of people that were yearning for representation. And that's the thing, is I'm not trying to make it a race thing. And people say, well, Dan, it was a sign of the times. But how would you feel if the majority of superheroes were black and there was one or two white superheroes and they were always supporting cast and they never got their own show and they never got a lot of publicity and people didn't really care about anything about them because they were focused on the other ones? You know, and so that's why Luke Cage, his story is such a story to tell, because Luke Cage is very much about showing the little kid who's not white that they have somebody to look up to, that they have a superhero, right? I attach to Peter Parker. I almost immediately attach to Peter Parker. And everybody, irregardless of color and background and descent and whatnot, and nationality and country of origin, should be able to attach to these characters. And Luke Cage, it is a show that it integrates culture, it integrates things that we know. I mean, the Biggie poster in the background, it shows us things that we know and that we can connect with and that we understand. And it brings us into this world where you can't give up on a kid. And I feel like so many times people look at society and they say, well, you know, that kid's going nowhere. Or, you know, he's just a little gangbanger. Or he looks like all the other kids that are gangbangers, so he's probably a gangbanger. Or she looks like a hood rat, and they're probably all hood rats. And they're probably all the, and you start to group people together. Where Luke Cage was like, you don't have to run around with what your best friend's doing. You don't have to lose your life. You don't have to steal. You don't have to take this gun out. You don't have to do this. I know you feel like the system isn't built for you, but there is another way. And you see his frustration in knowing that things are not right and wanting to make them right and at the same time trying to tell kids, even though the system is flawed, do not put yourself in danger. Don't put your family in danger. Don't have your mom get that phone call that her baby boy or her baby girl is not coming home today. And that is a great story of Luke Cage. And then Iron Fist is this, and first of all, shout out to Iron Fist name Danny Rand, because finally a character with Daniel. Danny Rand, you know, when you first start to watch this, instead of people, oh my God, Danny, you're alive, it was this, oh my God, he's alive, what do we do? You know, what do we do to get rid of this guy? And you have to think about the whirlwind he is going through. And he is, you know, in this psych ward and treated like he is this psychotic person, and he's given these pills, and he's got to be a certain way and subdue this and subdue that. And it's such a, you know, when you watch it, you think about, like, Jessica Jones, the helplessness of knowing there's nothing wrong with you, but you were supposed to be dead, you're alive, people think you're dead, you think they'll be happy, they're not happy, they want you to be dead again, they want you to disappear, you're trying to figure out your powers, you don't understand how everything's happening, memories are coming back to you in bits and pieces, nobody believes your story, everyone thinks you're insane, you're walking around barefoot, you don't even have the wherewithal to put shoes on because you're so focused on things so much bigger than that. You're trying to take a company back that belonged to your family. You're trying to understand who the villain is. Why do you have these powers? Understanding the powers. What do these powers mean? No, I'm not psychotic. Yes, I mean what I say. Why won't anybody believe me? I have nobody here that's truly going to believe me. And that helplessness, being the only person that knows the truth, makes you feel like you're the lie. Because everybody else believes one truth, you know another one to be true, and as much as you're right, you have to know inside that you are correct. You have to know that it's not the quantity of people that believe, but what truly is the truth, what really is reality. If one person believes in reality and a million people believe in fantasy, you cannot give up on reality. And that's one of the hardest things in the world to do. Walk into a room and 100 people say no, and you got the only hand raised up that says yes, and everybody's looking at you saying, if that person can put their hand down and vote no instead, then we're unanimous. You're the only person holding us up. And that in and of itself is such a interesting way of showing a character, this frustration, this angst. And, you know, he is fighting his mind. He is fighting what he knows to be true. He is fighting himself because the world is telling him he is wrong and his heart is telling him he is right. That is a beautiful story arc to tell. And now they're all together. And then you got my dude, One Batch, Two Batch, Penny and Dime. My guy, John Bernthal, the Punisher. You got Sigourney Weaver. I was there in the room when they brought out the Defenders, when they brought them all out on stage together for the first time. I was there when they announced Sigourney Weaver was the villain. I was there for the Iron Fist cast to see footage for the first time that they had never seen. So we saw it when they saw it at New York Comic Con. And seeing how excited Rosario Dawson was running to the end of the stage and sitting on the end of the stage so she could watch the screen. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And knowing that they were filming Iron Fist and were filming that day to wrap up filming so that they could come down. And then the producers and the directors, the writers and everybody were working on that film from what they had shot so that they could put together something for us at New York Comic Con. It was beautiful. And it shows how much they care about us, about the fans. So I am excited about the Defenders. I am interested in seeing this story develop. I'm interested in seeing the dynamic amongst the four, especially because Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were together and then weren't. And I'm interested in Iron Fist and Daredevil with their martial arts. And I'm interested in why Sigourney Weaver wants what she wants and what Elektra will do and if Elektra will snap out of it. There's so many stories going on. And then there's the Punisher. And where does he fit into all of this? And why will he be called upon, or will he be called upon, or does he need to be called upon? So the story here is beautiful. The story here is multi-layered. And the story here is now on Netflix. So go watch it. Go watch The Defenders. Watch, enjoy, and let's talk about it on Twitter at SuperpoweredPop, on Facebook at SuperpoweredPop, and on SuperpoweredPop.com. This has been an episode of Superpowered Pop with Dan Satora on The Defenders. Not the Avenger B team, but The Defenders. Those defending a city. Those coming together for a common goal of protecting the innocent. Protecting those that know nothing of what's going on. These people in the shadows are putting their lives on the line to make sure that your child grows up in a safer city, a safer town, a safer community, a safer environment, and a safer world. If you ask me, no matter how this show goes, the Defenders are just as important as the Avengers. Because anyone who is willing to step out and put their neck on the line for a stranger so that they can go home safe and sound that night, even if they don't go home safe and sound that night, that is a hero. So to Jessica Jones, to Luke Cage, to Daredevil, to Iron Fist, to Claire Temple, to Foggy Nelson, and all, to Misty Knight, to Colleen Wing, thank you for defending our city. Thank you for defending the world. And thank you to Netflix and Marvel and Jeff Loeb for getting this all done and putting it all together and making this a reality for us. Making this something that we can see and enjoy, for allowing us to live in a world where we can see these characters on more than just the pages of a comic book. And let's get those friggin', let's get the Marvel Knights together. Is it not time to get the Marvel Knights together? I want Ghost Rider. I want Daredevil. I want Punisher. I want Moon Knight. I want them together. Let's create. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to establish. And let's continue to see this beautiful world of the comic book become more and more real in our lives. Shout out to all of the actors, the producers, directors, writers, cast and crew in its entirety and all their families. Thank you for making The Defenders, and I look forward to seeing you defend us. God bless everybody, and I'll talk with you next week on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora.